to glory land. It won't be long until I take the hand of Jesus Christ with a great big smile. We'll sit right down and talk a while. Talk a while about the things we've
Charles Watson was born again on May 23, 1975, at the California Men's Colony. His transformation can best be described as amazing grace. Here's one of his messages from his early years of ministry.
Until I see the man, the prince of peace.
We're going to a study called Bold as a Lion. Bold as a lion. How many want to be as bold as a lion? Boy, a lion really roars, doesn't it? Praise God. Let's turn to begin with to Proverbs chapter 28. And I'd like for you to all turn, if you would. I think you'll really learn something tonight if you get into this study with me. Proverbs chapter 28, beginning with verse number 1. Proverbs 28, 1. How many have been turned on to this scripture before? Proverbs 28, 1. It says this. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Do you remember that? Before you got born again, you're out on the streets, maybe involved in all kinds of wrongdoing, and you'd be fleeing when no one even was pursuing you. In other words, you were paranoid, amen? But it goes on to say, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Say that. Say, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Praise God. And you're the righteous. You're going to see that tonight. Now, another scripture that I wanted to show you, this is the scripture that we're hinging off of tonight. The righteous are as bold as a lion. But another scripture that I wanted to show you is found over in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 5. We'll find that Jesus Christ is who? He's the Lion of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise God. It says here, and one of the elders said unto me, that's John, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has not only prevailed to open these seven seals, but he has prevailed over the wicked one. He has prevailed over the devil. He has prevailed over sin. He has prevailed over death. He has prevailed over sickness. Jesus Christ, the name above every name, has prevailed over every name that you can name. Amen? He has prevailed over the wicked one. Jesus Christ has prevailed, and he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And now you're a lion. It says, the righteous shall be bold as a lion. Well, it doesn't say you're an actual lion, but it says you shall be bold as a lion. Now, a lion is pretty bold, isn't it? Just think of some of those movies that you might have seen on TV or some of those safaris that you might have seen on TV and recognize the boldness of those lions and how they're the king of the jungle. Amen? Huh? Get with me now. You're the king of the jungle. You're the king of CMC. You're a king and a priest and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. But it says here that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And did you know you're in Jesus now and Jesus is in you? Did you know that? Do you know that you're resurrected in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Do you know that you've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, dead with Christ, risen with Christ, and now sitting in the heavenly places in Christ? Amen? Did you know Jesus Christ is righteous and he has made you righteous because of his righteousness? Glory to God. You're risen. You're somebody, see? You're the righteous, and the righteous are as bold as a lion, and Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Glory to God. Remember those two scriptures there. Now, who are the righteous? We've already answered that, but who are the righteous? The righteous is every born-again Christian. You say, well, now, Charles, how does a born-again Christian get righteous? Well, he gets righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. He becomes righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, for all those years we were walking out in the garbage of the wilderness and the devil and the jungle, when we were walking in all that, we were unrighteous, weren't we? In other words, we were in a wrong relationship with God. See, righteousness means this, right standing with God. Right standing with God. Say this, say
righteousness
means right standing with God. Now continue to say this. Say, I was in a wrong standing with God, but now that Jesus has come and rescued me, He has put me in a right relationship with God. And therefore, I am right with God. So you're the righteousness of God. You are right with God. Jesus Christ came to earth and made you right with God. Brother, that's good, isn't it? Glory to God. You're right with God. You said, oh, now, Charles, I remember somewhere in the Bible, it says that my filth is, my righteousness are as filthy rags. Well, that's true. It does say in the Bible, over in Isaiah 64:6, by the way, that your righteousness is as filthy rags. But my brother, let me tell you tonight that we're not talking about your righteousness. We're talking about Jesus Christ's righteousness. See, before you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your righteousness was as filthy rags. And now that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your righteousness has become His righteousness. And His righteousness has become your righteousness. So you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, so therefore you've been made right with God. Now that's something to meditate on, isn't it? Turn with me, if you would, over into 2 Corinthians, and we'll verify this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, we need to know that Jesus has come to earth and has become sin for us and made us right with God. And that's found in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, so far tonight, we've seen that the righteous are as bold as lions. Now, number two, we want to look at this. We want to know who are the righteous. And we're seeing here that our righteousness is filthy rags, but now since we're in Christ, we have put on His righteousness. And now, because of Him in us, we can be bold as a lion, glory to God, because of His righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For He," that's God, "hath made Him," who's that? Jesus, "to be sin for" who? Us. "Who knew no sin," Jesus knew no sin, "that" who? "We might become," or "might be made," past tense, "made," say that, "made,"
made
"the righteousness of God in us." Now let me read it all together. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, we have been made right with God in who? In Jesus. Now see, there's a lot of things that we need to know. We're not only righteous, but as we look into the Word of God, we need to know who we are in Christ as a Christian. See, we can not only be as bold as a lion because we're righteous, but we can be bold as a lion because we're a new creation. New creations are bold. New creations have been made right with God, have been delivered from the curse of the law, so therefore we can now be bold. Amen? Now look in 5:17 of this same chapter. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," there's that "in Christ" again. Well, Charles, what does "in Christ" mean? Well, you're in his crucifixion, you're in His death, you're in His burial, you're in His resurrection, glory to God, and now you've been made right with God. "If any man be in Christ," he is a new creature. The old things, the old death, the old sin, the old life, has passed away. Amen. It has passed away. It no longer exists. Glory to God. Amen. Passed away. "Behold, all things have become new." Glory to God. We are now new creatures in Christ. Amen. New creations in Christ. We have been created in Him. Ephesians tell us. Colossians tell us. We have been created in Christ. We have become a new creation. Glory to God. That's something to shout about. Well, see, because we're made righteous, because we're new creatures, we can now be bold as a lion. Amen? Glory to God. Next, I want to turn you on here to Colossians 1, 13 and 14. A few scriptures here I just want you to know of who you are in Christ. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. It says, who, that's Jesus, or God, I mean, that's God, excuse me. God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. We were in the power of darkness, weren't we? We were in sin and we were in death. But who? God. He hath delivered us. He rescued us from the power of darkness, from the power of the devil. Amen. How did he do that? He sent Jesus, didn't he? He sent Jesus down to earth to rescue us by dying for us, by being crucified for us. God hath delivered us from the power of Satan and hath translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In other words, when you transfer somebody from something, you take them out of something and put them into something else. Amen? Well, it says here that we have been translated or transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and we have been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? And how did that happen? The next verse. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Because of the blood that was shed for you and for me, and because of our sins that have been forgiven, and because His resurrection for us, we now have been transferred out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we can be bold as a lion. Because we're righteous. Because we're a new creation. Because we have been taken out of darkness and translated into the light, the love, the kingdom of His dear Son. How? Through the blood of Jesus. Because of the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, we're now resurrected into the kingdom of God. The next scripture I'd like to turn you on to is Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, 16. So you can be bold as a lion tonight. You don't have to be whimpering around like a little namby-pamby weakling Christian. You've been resurrected and given power in the kingdom of God. It says here in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Let me hear you say that. Say, I'm a child of God. And if a child... then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. See, you have been given joint heirship with Christ. Do you understand that? That's what the Bible says. That's not me talking. Joint heirship with Christ. And it goes on to say, if so be that we have suffered with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We have been glorified together with Jesus Christ, glory to God. We suffered with Him on the cross. We went down into the grave, glory to God, with Him. And He resurrected us up, glory to God, and glorified us, past tense, amen, and made us a son of God and a joint heir, co-equal in the family of God, in the body of Christ with Him. We're His body, amen. Made righteous. Made righteous. New creation here, amen. Resurrected out of darkness and put off into the light. Amen. We're somebody. Amen. We're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God and you're a child of God because of Jesus, because of our faith in the resurrection. Woo! All right. Then in Romans 8, 37, look here. Nay, and all these things. What things? All the things that precluded this verse here or preceded this verse here. We're more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. Say that. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not only a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. Glory to God. Amen. I've conquered death because of Jesus Christ. You've conquered death because of Jesus Christ. You've been resurrected into the heavenlies because of Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven because of Jesus. You've been made right because of Jesus. You're a new creation because of Jesus. You're a son of God because of Jesus. Amen. Look at all this. You're more than a conqueror because of Jesus. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and was manifest to destroy them. Glory to God. And he went down to the grave and he conquered them, but not for himself. For you and for me. Amen. Conquered the works of the devil and resurrected us into the kingdom of God and given us power and authority over the works of the devil, and now we can be bold about it. Amen? Glory to God. Then in 1 Corinthians 3:16, if that's not enough, 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says this, that we're the temples of God. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You are the temple of the living God. You have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Doesn't it feel good to be the Holy Ghost? Be filled with the Holy Ghost? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then in John 15:1, just to refresh your memory of something else you are, you're a branch. He calls you the branch. See, it's the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. And Jesus says in 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Brother, we're a branch. I am the vine, in verse 5, and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. We're branches of Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the vine and we're the branches. His Holy Ghost now moves through us and uses us for his glory. And on these branches here are hanging joy. On these branches are hanging love. On these branches here are hanging power. Amen? On these branches here are hanging peace. All these branches here contain the works of Jesus Christ in this world today, in the life of Jesus Christ. What's in the vine is in the branch. Amen? You try to separate what's in that tree outside that door in that garden there and what's in that branch, and you can't do it without cutting it off. But praise God, we're not cut off. We've been put on. Amen? And now we have the life of God flowing through these branches of ours. Now also, I passed out some sheets here tonight, just briefly, that they show you and they tell you what you are and who you are in Christ. You need to get these things down. We've already seen here that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am redeemed. We've seen that. See, it says there in Galatians 3:13 and 14 that I am redeemed also. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, that the blessings of Abraham might come on me through Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with the blessings of Abraham. It says here, I have life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. Son of God, John 1:12. All these scriptures here, all these verses here on these sheets here that I passed out tonight tell you who you are in Christ. It says, I'm free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. I am the body of Christ. I am an overcomer. I'm far from oppression. I'm delivered from evil. I am a conqueror. See, begin to recognize who you are in Christ, and then you'll recognize where your boldness comes from. Where does it come from? Comes from Jesus. Amen? Comes from Jesus. The life that you now have in your flesh is from Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. Brings a scripture to mind in Galatians 2:20. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I. In the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Amen. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. See, we're somebody. We're not just some little namby-pamby, weak sinner saved by grace. We've been made king's kids, kings and priests, and joint heirs with Christ. Well, what does it mean to be bold as a lion? That's point number 3 tonight. What does it mean to be bold as a lion? Let's get on into this. First of all, let me give you the definition down on the bottom of the overhead projector of the Greek word for boldness. The Greek word is Parousia, P-A-R-R-E-S-I-A. And what this word parousia means, and it's used all through the Bible for boldness and for bold and for boldly, it means outspokenness, number one. Number two, it would mean frankness of speech. Number three, it would mean openness to public. And then number four, it would mean just plain boldness. Again, outspokenness, frankness of speech, openness to speech or to the public, and then just plain boldness. But I've narrowed it down a little bit more into action tonight in that I've got, what does bold as a lion mean? And I've got number one there, it means confidence. 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 Amen? Confidence. Outspokenness. Confidence. And when we look at the Word of God, we see the kind of confident person that Paul was. And let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, meaning confidence. In other words, we have our confidence in who? In Christ. Amen? Say that. Say, my confidence is in Christ. Not in myself, but it's in Christ. And He enables me to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we have confidence. This boldness is a confidence that you have in Christ. And sure enough, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we're the branch. He puts the strength in. He puts the Holy Ghost in. He puts the joy in. He puts the fullness of the Spirit in. And because of Him, we can now do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, this boldness means confidence. Next, this boldness, number two, means courage. Courage, amen? Courage. See, it means courage, see? And then in Joshua, the scripture that we want to look at this courage, we'll see how we get it. This boldness is courage. And we see Bible courage from men of God all through the Bible. When you go back and you look through the Old Testament here, we see that courage was in Daniel, David, Elijah, Eliza, Joshua, Moses, and on up, Abraham. Bible courage. God uses men of courage. God uses men of confidence. God uses bold men of God. Now, how do we get it? In Joshua, chapter 1, verse number 6, God, talking to Joshua, told him this. Well, in verse number 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Says he won't fail you nor forsake you, but here's what he says to do in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Goes on to say, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Going to divide it for an inheritance. The land is going to become an inheritance to them. But look in verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous. See, there's some things that we need to do. Do you see that? Some things that we need to do. We need to be strong and of good courage. This is boldness. It says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. How do you become strong and courageous? You begin to do according to the Word of God. You begin to live by the Word. How do you become confident? You begin to live by the Word of God. You begin to go by what the Word of God says about you instead of what somebody on the yard says about you. You begin to go by what this Word here says about you. Such as we've seen tonight, the Word of God says that we're made the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't care what the devil says about me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, we begin to do according, observe to do according to all the law. Well, the law and the Word, you can put it together. The perfect law of liberty here. Glory to God. The Word of God. When you begin to do according to the Word of God, brother, you will have courage. If I walked and did all the things that the devil would want me to do, and if I was like all the things that the devil said about me, I would be the most miserable person in the whole world. Amen? But when I go and do according to this Word of God here and everything it says, what happens? I become strong and I become courageous and confident in what God has done in my life through Jesus Christ. See, He's made me a new creation, made you a new creation, translated you out of darkness and set you up into the kingdom of God. It says here, also we've seen tonight that He's made us a child of God. He's made us more than a conqueror, made us the temple of the Holy Ghost, made us the branch of the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And we got a whole sheet of other things here that He's made us. And we can rejoice in that, amen? And when you're rejoicing in that, you become bold. And this boldness, again, let me say, it's confidence and it's courage. Confidence and courage. You get into a place to where you can be confident anywhere you can go. Anywhere you go, you become fearless. Amen? You become daring in your witness for Jesus Christ. But here we're talking about courage. And it says, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it, from what? From the law, from the Word. Turn not from this Word to the right hand nor to the left. That means right on, doesn't it? You stay right in the Word. You stay right on in the Word. It goes on to say, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Well, how are you going to prosper wheresoever you goest? You got to stay in the Word. You're living an unprosperous life today. Oh, God never blesses me. I don't know. I'm just the most broke person there is. Well, I tell you what, you must not be in the Word, because I know God says that if you're in His Word and you don't turn from the right and you don't turn to the left, but you go right on in His Word, you're going to prosper. And what else does He say? How do we become courageous? How do we become confident? How do we become bold? Verse 8 is the answer. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Mutter it, eat it up, chew it like a cow chews the cud. Chew this Word here, amen? Chew this Word. Chew it up like an old cow out in the pasture chewing grass. You just chew this Word all day long. Begin to meditate on it. Begin to let a verse go over in your mind. Begin to say to yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I don't know if I'm going to believe that or not. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of God. Pretty soon you say, well, I'm the temple of God too. And I'm a branch. Glory to God. All right. I've been lifted out of darkness into the heavenly. Well, I'm seated in the heavenly. Well, I'm with Christ Jesus, and He's in me, and I'm in Him. Glory to God. And you just get bolder and bolder and bolder, because the more you recognize it, the more you know it, the more you begin to say it, the more you begin to walk in it, the more bold you get. So you meditate upon the Word of God. I've been studying the Word of God for 7 years, not to boast. But I'm getting bolder every day. The more I get in it, the more I preach it, the more I begin to believe it, the more I have faith in it. It says here, meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do. But it's not only meditating in it, it's beginning to observe it and to do it. See, it's not only looking into it and being a hearer of the Word, but you've got to be a doer of the Word. Got to be a doer of the Word. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not only meditate upon it, but begin to do it. Not only begin to recognize and meditate upon the fact that you've been made right with God, that you're a new creation, that you're a son of God, a child of God, that you've been made the temple of God, and that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Not only meditating on that, but begin to act like it. Amen. Begin to act like you are. It says, meditate on it and observe to do according to all that is written therein. Begin to do it. Begin to act like it. Begin to put your foot down on the devil and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going for your okey-doke anymore. You're not going to keep me from getting the victory anymore. I'm a child of God. And you take that garbage and smoke it in your pipe, because I'm not going for it. I'm going to observe to do all that I've meditated upon, and I'm going to prosper, because you're not going to keep me from doing it. Amen? Got to get tough with the devil. Not give him no place in your life whatsoever. Goes on to say here, it says, for then thou, when you meditate on it and do all that is written therein, it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Who? Who is going to make your way prosperous? You're going to make your way prosperous. How? By putting faith in God's Word. Don't wait on God to make you prosperous. He's already made you prosperous as you can be in Christ Jesus. Now you've got to get into the Word and wake up to it and recognize it. And glory to God, when you do that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be prosperous. Because you've made your way prosperous by having faith in Jesus Christ. That's how. See, we have to get up off our duff and have to begin to get into the Word of God and meditate on it and begin to do it. And I tell you what, then you'll make your way prosperous because of your faith in Christ Jesus. You'll be fighting the good fight of faith. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Why is he with you? Because you have meditated in the Word. You're not turning from the right. You're not turning from the left. Glory to God, you're right in the Word of God. His Holy Spirit is inside you. You're eating on His Word. You're renewing your mind with His Word. And because of that, glory to God, you got a prosperous and abundant life. Because the Word of God is renewing and confirming your mind into what He wants you to be, and you're proving the perfect will of God. And the Holy Ghost is not only inside of you as a born-again Christian, it's in your mind. And now all of a sudden it begins to get in your body and you begin to shout and jump and be happy and speak the Word of God. Lay hands upon the sick. You begin to do some things in the power of God, and you no longer let the old evil thought and the old evil thinking, the old doubtful thoughts and the old unbelief that's in your mind hold you back and keep the Spirit of God from doing it. You understand what I'm saying? God wants to move in your life, but you're going to have to get into the Word. That's what a courageous Christian is all about. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 11 says this. 2 Chronicles 19:11. It says, "And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebadiah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah for all the king's matters, also the Levites, shall be officers before you." And then here's what it says for them to do. See, God uses courageous men. Will you believe that with me tonight? God uses courageous men. Let me hear you say that. God uses courageous men. Here he chose officers here, and here's what he said. "Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good." Deal courageously. The Lord desires for us as men of God to deal courageously in everything that we do. He wants us to be confident and He wants us to be courageous. God uses men that are courageous. Then number 4 here, we see that it means to be fearlessness. Fearlessness. Bold as a lion means to be fearlessness. Who have we got to fear? Who shall we fear? The Lord is my helper. Amen? The Lord. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it tells us about this fear. Fearlessness. You know, fear is this. Fear is expectation or apprehension of evil. It's expecting evil to come upon you. Amen? That's what fear is all about. It's always expecting some kind of evil to come upon you. But the ability that God has put inside of you and His Holy Spirit inside of you has given you the ability to live free from fear. Do you believe that? Amen. His Spirit inside of you has given you the ability to live free from fear. Now look at this scripture here. It says, "For God hath not given us." That means He hath not given us. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us," what? "The spirit of fear." He has not given us the spirit of fear. When we were born again, He did not put a spirit of fear inside of us. He took one out of us. Amen? Yes. See, it's the devil that tries to attack you with fear. He attacks your mind with fear. He puts expectations and imaginations of fear upon your mind. telling you that you should be afraid here, telling you should be afraid there, telling you should go lock up, telling you somebody's going to kill you, telling you somebody's going to hurt you, telling you this, telling you that you're not going to make it when you get out. He puts all this kind of expectations of fear upon your mind. But God did not give us that. See, God did not give us the spirit of fear. It's the devil that tries to put the spirit of fear on you. And if he can put the spirit of fear on you, he's going to keep you from being bold. But righteousness and being bold as a lion in Jesus Christ means that you're not going to fear. Amen? Not going to fear. I've heard someone say that there's 365 scriptures one day, one for every day of the year, telling you not to fear, telling you to fear not, telling you not to expect evil. It says here, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what did he give us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Didn't give us the spirit of fear. Gave us the spirit of power. The dunamis power of God lives inside of us. Amen? The love of God lives inside of us. Not fear. Fear is out here outside of us, trying to attack our mind with it. But inside of us, what do we have? We have power in here. Amen? We have righteousness in here. We have a divine nature in here. We have the Holy Ghost in here. We have love in here. Amen? We have joy and peace inside of us. Amen? We have all these other things that we've discussed tonight. We have life and light inside of us. Glory to God. We have the blessings of Jesus inside of us. We have not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. The dunamis, dynamite power of God lives inside of us. Woo! Isn't it good? The love of God lives inside of us. But the devil would try to get you to believe and get you to think that you are going to be hurt or going to be destroyed by the wiles of the devil, because of all the imaginations that he tries to put on your mind and get you to fear. But that's not from God. That's from the devil. But the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Sound mind. That's what we all need. We need a sound mind. How do we get a sound mind? We begin to renew our mind with the Word of God. We begin to renew our mind and have so embedded in our mind who we are in Christ. Sound mind. You become sound and solid and sober in the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and no demon in hell is going to convince you of anything different. You become sound and solid in the fact that you've been made a new creation. Old things are passed away, and you don't care what kind of thought comes upon you. You're not going to go for it. You become sound in the faith that you have been delivered from fear, that you have not been given the spirit of fear, but you have love inside of you. You have power inside of you, power to get rid of that spirit of fear. The Lord is the light of my life. He's my strength. Amen. Whom shall I fear? Psalms 27:1. Another scripture here. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans 8:15. We haven't received the spirit of bondage. We've received the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen? Glory to God. It's good. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. For those of you writing it down. We need to begin to recognize that we've been delivered from this fear, and now we have been given a sound, solid mind in faith in that Jesus Christ delivered us from the things of the devil and has now given us power and love and a sound mind. Need to renew our mind to that constantly. Need to become sound in that 100%. The old devil would try to come in and get you to be all timid. He'd try to get you to be all fearful of man and what man's going to do to you. He'd try to get you to come in and think that you're going to fail the very next minute. He'd try to get you to think that calamity is not only coming on your own life, but coming on your entire life of your family and everybody else. He'll try to make you think that you're going to die any minute, that you're going to be oppressed with poverty, and that the devil's going to be able to do this and going to be able to do that. You begin to think all those thoughts, and before long, what are you feeling like? A little old namby-pamby, weak nothing. Saying, oh, I hope I make it through the day. Well, see, if he can get you to thinking about all those things, you're going to become a little weakling. But you have to have a sound mind and solidly think about your confidence in the Lord, about your courage in the Lord, about your fearlessness in the Lord, because of why? You have programmed your mind with the Word of the living God. Are you with me? And next, this word bold as a lion would mean, number four, would mean daring. Daring in everything that you do. Not having any reluctance in your life to act on God's Word, to do what God's Word says you can do. Do you hear that? Be daring. Act on God's Word. Begin to do what God's Word says you can do. If you're not doing what God's Word says you can do, you're doing what the devil's Word says you can do. How many of you are going for the devil's Word? You got a choice in life. You can believe the devil or you can believe God's Word. I chose to believe God's Word. I believe God's Word says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I don't believe in I can't do. I believe God's Word says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't believe the devil's word when he comes in and says, oh man, you're not forgiven. I believe that God's Word says I'm a new creation. I choose to be daring and stand upon the Word of God rather than the word of the devil. That's what I choose in life. Now here's what the Word says in Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38, if you'd be so kind to turn there tonight. We'll see that we don't need to be reluctant in any area of our life. We need to be daring. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's Word. The just shall live by faith. Now who are the just? What does just mean? Just means right. Justification means that you've been made just as if you had never sinned. That you've been made right with God. That's what just means. Now, if you're the righteous, and we've seen that you are tonight, and that you've been made just with God, and you're just to God right now, it says that you need to live by faith in God's Word. Are you with me? Faith in God's Word. Now it says, but if any man draw back from where? Draw back from living by faith in God's Word. If any man draws back from living by faith in God's Word and begins to put faith in the devil and his Word, what does it say? It says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God's not going to have any pleasure in you. If you draw back by not hearkening unto the voice of the Lord thy God, meditating in the Word of God, observing the Word of God, putting faith in the Word of God, living by the Word of God, living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and not living by that bread alone, like he says, man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said. Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Living by this word here. So what have we said so far tonight then on what boldness is? We said boldness is this: being confident, being courageous, being fearless, and being daring. And how do you do it? By having faith in God's word and not faith in Satan's word. See, now this is what Satan would want. He would want you to be a little weakling, a little namby-pamby, ineffective, non-effectual Christian. He would want you sitting on the pew, coming to church on Sunday morning, and that's all. He'd want you not talking to your neighbor, not talking to anybody on the yard. He'd want you never opening your Bible. And he'd want you never praying, never coming out to services and fellowship. In other words, he don't want you to do anything. And by not doing that, you would not have any boldness in your life. But now we've seen what God wants us to do. He wants the righteous ones, and if you're saved tonight, you're a righteous one. He wants you to be bold as a lion. Are you with me? He wants you to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're His righteousness, that you're a new creation, that you're His child, that you have been resurrected out of darkness into light, that you're more than a conqueror, that you're the temple of God and you're one of His branches. And because you're all of this, now you can have confidence, you can have courage, you can have fearlessness, and you can be daring in your life because of who you are in Christ. Are you with me? And therefore, you can be bold. You can be bold about it. Why? Because you have faith in God's Word and what His Word says you are. And you're not drawing back. Amen? The just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul will not have pleasure in him. You want God to have pleasure in you, don't you? Amen. We all do. Live by faith. Be a just one living by faith, and you shall be bold as a lion. You shall move out in courage. You shall move out in confidence. You shall be fearless in everything that you do, and you shall begin to be a daring Christian. Glory to God. Now, next, number four, what boldness is not? It's not a brash attitude. It's not a brash attitude. We see that in Peter over in Matthew. This is what boldness is not. Now, when we see this in Peter, we, of course, know that he hadn't been saved yet. He hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. He hadn't got born again yet. And in Matthew 26:33, it says this, Peter answered and said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Can you imagine old Peter saying that? Huh? See, Peter wasn't saying that as a born-again Christian. And we know what happened to Peter. Even though out of Peter's mouth was coming, "Oh Lord, though all men don't follow you, I'm going to follow you forever." And then old Peter denied him three times, didn't he? He didn't have the power of God in his life, see? He hadn't been born again yet. He didn't have the Holy Ghost living in his life. He wasn't walking as a daring, fearless, courageous, confident Christian. He wasn't walking bold as a lion, as we've seen as we need to walk tonight. See, boldness is not a brash attitude. And if you look and examine Peter's life all the way through the Gospels, you'll see that he had a brash, non-loving attitude. Boldness is this. Boldness is letting the Holy Ghost come out of you and begin to present Jesus Christ Himself to the world. You as the body of Christ. Amen? Through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You being the branch of the vine. You being the righteousness of God in Christ. You being that more than a conqueror. You being that son, child of God that you should be. And brother, He wants you to be as He is in this world. Amen? As He is, so are we in this world, John says. He wants you to be as He is. In other words, God wants His Son Jesus, His body, to be exalted and to be powerful in this world today. And the way He does it is through you. Amen? So are we presenting Jesus to the world today? That's what we need to examine ourselves with. Well, Peter went on and received the Holy Ghost, and then he began to. And we see the difference in Acts 2, don't we? When he began to boldly preach a gospel message, and 3,000 people got saved. We see him walking into the temple and laying hands upon the sick, and the man got healed. The lame man jumped up, went leaping and walking and praising God. We see the power of God moving through Peter's life, and because of that, we see 5,000 men getting saved. Amen? 5,000 people getting saved. Because of Peter's boldness. You can look at Peter's boldness before the cross, and then you can look at Peter's boldness after he received the Holy Spirit, and there's a world of difference. One is a brash attitude, and one is the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in his life because he's a born-again Christian. Next, boldness is not boasting. And in Acts 5:36, let's see what we see here. Acts 5:36, we see Thaddeus boasting himself to be somebody. In Acts 5:36, "For before these days rose up Thaddeus," or Thaddeus, "boasting himself to be somebody." In other words, this was Gabriel's advice to what the Sanhedrin should do to Paul. He says, "Oh, man," he says, "let's just not do anything to Paul right now. Don't you remember old Thaddeus boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught?" See, he wasn't nothing. Amen? He was boasting himself to be somebody, but he wasn't anything. He and all his men were brought to naught because they didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But now the Holy Ghost had failed and filled Peter and all the people in the temple, and they were moving out about 8,000 strong. And Gamaliel here said, hey, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Let's see. If it's not of God what he's walking in, we'll know. Amen. See, it's not just boasting yourself to be somebody. It's not bragging. In Acts 8:9, we see that Bible boldness is not bragging, as Simon the sorcerer did. In Acts 8, verse number 9, he says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. What boasting, or boldness is not bragging as Simon did, that he was some great one. Then in verse number 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Simon's heart wasn't right in the sight of God. James 4:6 says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives us grace to the humble. See, boasting is not, let me say again, some kind of brash attitude, or boldness is not a brash attitude, it's not boasting, and it's not bragging. What it is, allowing the Holy Ghost to come out of you and begin to present Jesus Christ to this world. Glory to God. Amen. We be bold like a lion. We don't have a brash attitude. We're not to be boasting. And we're not to be bragging about what we can do, but about what Jesus Christ can do. Amen? In other words, we're to have the Jesus kind of confidence, the Jesus kind of courage, the Jesus kind of fearlessness, and the Jesus life of living a daring life. Amen? Today, as I was studying the Word over in 2 Corinthians, to close this study out tonight, chapter 5, I'd like to turn you on to something about in number 14. Boldness is walking in the love of God, 5:14, 2 Corinthians 5:14. And when we walk in the love of God, we're going to come against a lot of things that would try to stop that word and that love from going forth in our bold life. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of God constraineth us. That controls us. The love of God controls us. Boldness is walking in the love of God and letting that love of God control you. Understand? And it's not letting anything other than the love of God that is inside of you control you. See, a demon would try to come in and get you to have a brash attitude. The demon would try to come in and get you to boast about what you can do and not about what Christ can do. A demon would try to come in and get you to bragging about what you have done and not what Christ has done in your life. Amen? But being a bold Christian is allowing the love of God that is inside of you to come out and present Jesus Christ to this world. Boldness comes out in love. Amen? See, it goes on to say here, because we must judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Amen? See, not living to yourselves with a brash attitude, or with your own boldness, or with your boasting, or your bragging, not living to yourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Who do we live unto now? Unto Jesus. We let Jesus and His Holy Ghost move out of our life, move out of our hands, move out of our feet, move out of our mouth and everything that we say. We let the love of God control us now. Not ourselves, but the love of God. And we don't let the demons from hell control us. Demons of hell is what tries to control you. Demons of hell is what starts talking bad about the word that is coming out of your mouth. Amen. The demons of hell are the ones that start causing you to backbite. The demons of hell is what want to cause disunity in the body of Christ. The demons of hell is what wants to cause boasting and bragging and brash attitude to come out of the Christian brothers. Amen. But it's the love of God that has to motivate us. And it goes on to say here, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. That's what I want to bring out right now. Brother, we need to begin to look on one another, not after the flesh. In the Revised Standard, it says here, look on no man from a human point of view. From a human point of view. Then it goes on to say, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh or after a human point of view, yet now, henceforth, we know Him no more. Amen? We don't know Christ after a human point of view or after the flesh now, so let's stop looking on one another from a human point of view or after the flesh. Are you with me? And then we will begin to see boldness out of one another. See, there's a lot of us today looking at one another instead of looking at Jesus in one another. If you'll begin to look at Jesus in one another, you'll begin to see boldness in one another. See, the demons of hell do this. They try to attack your mind and get you to think and look at one another in a human point of view. And did you know if they can do that, they begin to put all kinds of garbage on the body of Christ and causes the Spirit of God that is in the body of Christ to be quenched? See? It says here, we don't look on Christ from a human point of view anymore. Why not? Because He's resurrected, glory to God. He's not here in the flesh. He's not here as man anymore. He is now resurrected, and we're resurrected with Him. And since He's up there in the heavenlies, we're up there in the heavenlies, glory to God. And now let's look at one another as being up there in the heavenlies, amen? Not only at ourselves as being up there, but as our brother being up there. And when we begin to put those two together, us looking on ourselves as being resurrected into the heavenly places, as Christ is not here in the flesh, we're in the Spirit, glory to God. Our brother is in the Spirit, and glory to God. When we do that, we release our brother to minister and to be that bold Christian that he's supposed to be. Amen? But if we're looking on each other after the flesh and say, oh man, look at his crime and what he's done. Do you see what he did here the other day? No, I didn't see nothing. The only thing I saw in the Word of God where he got saved here the other night. He's become the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise God. He's become a son of God. He's received boldness and courage and love and power and a sound mind. Glory to God. I see my brother is resurrected in the heavenly places. I see my brother is putting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because what does it say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's resurrected into the kingdom of God and now moving out as a witness. Amen? He's not all these old garbage things that the devil would try to put on you. We're looking at our brother now, not as a human nature, or from a human point of view, the Berkeley version says, from a human nature. We're looking on Him as a heavenly, Christ-like, new nature. Amen? He's a new creation. He has a new nature. Look at your brother right now. Look at that new nature in him. Look at one another. You have a new nature in one another. Amen? You not only see yourself as having a new nature, as being the righteousness of God, but you see your brother as being that. Satan will try to attack you and cause you to think bad about your brother, and he'll quench the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ. When all the time God says here to look on one another not as a human nature, but look on as one another as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then what's going to happen? Let's read on. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us, Jesus and us, amen, to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen? God was in Christ reconciling the world into the heavenly places. not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Brother, we have the word of reconciliation, the word of God now, and we need to go forth with it instead of the word of the devil that would try to bring us down. Amen? It goes on to say here, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Brother, that's what our mission is to go forth and tell people to be reconciled unto God, not backbite and look down on one another as having a human nature. We have a godly nature. And it goes on to say, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Brother, the righteousness are as bold as lions. And if you're going to be an effective witness in this Christian body, you're going to have to begin to quit looking at one another as a human nature and begin to look at one another as a God-like, righteous, bold nature going forth as a lion to win this institution for Christ. Are you with me? Glory to God. Look on one another as God's nature, not from a human point of view. And then you'll see boldness come forth in your brother like you've never seen before. Pray for your brother. Bind demons from your brother. Intercede for your brother. Pray for your brother, glory to God, that boldness will come forth from him. Amen? Glory to God. Look at one another as resurrected into the heavenly places, bold as a lion. Amen? If you're looking any different, you're quenching the Spirit in the body of Christ. Do you know you have the power to quench God's Holy Spirit? Do you know you have power to throw water right on me?